Morning. Today's daf in Me'ila is daf Zayin. We're on Vav Amud Beis, finishing up the first parak of the Masechta today. The Gemara is taking us through the Shita of Rabbi Kiva. You remember yesterday we had a machlokes between Rabbi Lazan, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Kiva regarding Zrikas Adam that was done over carbon that was disqualified. The disqualification under discussion in the Mishnah was that of Yotzei. The meat of the carbon was taken out, and you did Zrikas Dam. And the question is actually a pretty straightforward question. So now that the meat is taken out, now it's been disqualified. So now you do a Zrikas Dam over that disqualified meat. So is that Zrika going to be significant or not significant? Our Mishnah discusses it in the context of Me'ila, because of course, we're learning Masechta Me'ila, and really everything is now framed from the context of Me'ila. And we want to know, how does it affect the halachas of Me'ila? Now, as we discussed yesterday, and we continue to discuss, because the more we say it, the more we're just going to get familiar with the idea that when it comes to Kachay Kadashim, so what Me'ila does, what Zrika does is that it removes the status of Me'ila from the meat. The meat, when you are Makdash, it is Kachay Hashem. The whole animal is Kachay Hashem. And by Karbonola, it remains Kachay Hashem because the whole thing is going up onto the Mizbech. And by Chatas and Anasham, so when after you do Zrika Sadam, so the meat's going to be eaten by the Kohanim. So what Zrika does by a Karbon is that it removes the status of Me'ila. Mashenke, when it comes to Kachim Kalim, it's just the opposite. When you're Makdash Shlamim, so at this juncture, it does not have the status of Me'ila, does not have a Din Me'ila, but only after you do Zrikas Adam, and now the Imurim are going to be going up onto the Mizbech, so then it's going to introduce Me'ila into the Imurim. Good. That's the starting point. Our Mishnah is discussing is what happens when the meat's been removed, in which you are now in violation of the Psul of Yotzei. It's the meat's been disqualified, and you do Zrikas Adam over that meat that's been removed. So is that going to remove the Me'ila, the status of Me'ila by Kachay Kadashim, of that meat that's been disqualified? So was the Machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva. Now, when we learned the Mishnah yesterday, so as I pointed out yesterday, what comes out now is that it's a Machlokas where it's much easier for me to understand the position of Rabbi Eliezer and to present the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Because what does he say? He says, look, the meat's been disqualified, so now the Zrikas Adam is not going to change the status of the meat whatsoever. The meat now is in a position of being disqualified. And therefore, whatever you do with the blood is not going to affect the meat. The meat was already in a state of Me'ila. The meat continues to be in a state of Me'ila. That is the easier position to present. However, there is also the sheet of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, no, that despite the fact that you did Zrika over the carbon that was Yotzei, the Zrika is still going to be an effective Zrika. Of course, you can't eat the meat. He's not suggesting that for a moment. But nevertheless, though, the Zrika is going to be effective enough where it's going to be removing the status of Me'ila from that meat that was taken out. It's a hard position to maintain. As you'll see in the course of today's daf, it's going to be a hard position to maintain. To defend. Rabbi Kiva realizes that. He recognizes that himself. You're going to see a bunch of evidence that suggests Rabbi Kiva acknowledges that it's a difficult position. Even in the Mishnah, he says, I'll give you a comparison. I'll give you something to work with in terms of presenting this idea. When we later this morning, we're going to go back to the comparison of Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah. We're going to see that all inside. Okay, with all that stated, we are now starting with the Gemara in Vav Amud Beis and the bottom of the Amud Itmar. I'm Rav Yochanan Ki, I'm Rabbi Kiva Zrika Ma'alas Yotzei Shiyatzei Miksaso. Aval Yotzei Kula Lo'ama Rabbi Akiva. So our first modification of the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, and that's as follows. Rabbi Akiva can possibly mean that if all the meat was taken out, and then you do the Zrika Saddam, the Zrika is going to be effective towards that meat. Okay, it can't be. Because that meat now is all disqualified. And you now want to tell me that a Zrika is going to be effective for something which is disqualified? Can't be. It must mean, this is Rav Yochanan really modifying Rabbi Akiva, it must mean that part of the meat was taken out and part of the meat was not taken out. And now you did a Zrika. And since the Zrika was effective for the parts that were not taken out, therefore it's going to be effective for the parts that is taken out. This is a principle known as Migu. Rashi over here, on the bottom of the Amud, so he quotes this idea. Hanush yatsa mixas of basar, velo yatsa kulo. Some of the meat came out, not all of the meat. Demigda mehanya zrikla mixas shibifnim. Since it is effective for the part that's inside, mehanya nami, lahu mixas shiyatsa, it also will be effective for the part that's taken out as well. Okay? So what we have over here in our Gemara, Rav Yochanan, a serious modification of the position of of Rabbi Akiva.
When you say the meat, it means meat, not the Emorim.
Right now we're talking about the meat. We're talking about the basar of kachay kadashim. Correct, correct. For the imurim, the din of me'ilam remains.
But if you say rov instead of rov.
The argument over here is not a rov versus miut. The argument over here is that it has some effectiveness, therefore it continues to be effective. It's a different type of argument. So amalei Rav Asi le Rav Yochanan kfarlim dunu chaverish begola. So Rav Asi says to Rav Yochanan, right, the participants of this particular dialogue, it's a little bit challenging to understand, right? Rav Asi is generally, we assume, to be one of the Chachmei Bavel. Anyway, maybe a Rebbe Asi, regardless. So Amar Rav Asi le Rav Yochanan kfar lemdana chaver shebegola. You already told us the following. Out in the Gaulis, mechashon al avad v'ala saruf. So you can have a machshava. Now remember, in order to effectively create pigol, nobody wants to do this, but just in terms of how it works. So effectively to create pigol, so you have to have a machshava that you're going to eat some of the karban, chutzis man or chutzim kamo. Now it has to be an edible portion of the karban. Let's say you have a machshava while doing pigol, while having machshava's pigol, well, let's say you have a machshava on the part of the karban that's either lost or burnt. I would have said to you, that's not a machshava's pigol. A machshava's pigol means that you have to be thinking about something that is concrete and there, and not something that is no longer gone. However, the Gemara is going to entertain for a moment, for more than a moment, this idea that you can have a machshava. A machshava's pigol would be effective if it were to be had, even over a piece that is either lost or burnt. Now, the Gemara's argument goes like this. Now, if something which is avod or sarf is not in this world, and you could have a machshavas pigol. So what the Gemara is bothered by is it really bother you so much that Rabbi Akiva says that a zrika is effective for something which is yotzei, and you want to modify, and you want to say, nah, the whole thing is not yotzei, some of it's yotzei, some of it's not yotzei, and since a zrika is effective for the part that's not yotzei, it's also going to be effective for the part that's yotzei. I'll tell you the truth, even if the whole thing was taken out, is that any different than what we just learned together? We just learned together that you could have a machshava on avod and sarf. If you could have a machshava on avod and sarf, which is totally out of the picture, so certainly a zrika would be effective for yotzei, even though it is out of the picture. Now the Gemara says, now, as I understand you're asking a question, but the question is based on something that may not be true. You're telling me that you could have a machshava's pigol on something which is gone? What if you have a machshava on nishpachim, and the machshava is for the next day? What would be the halacha there? Now, this is a question that was posed directly to Rav Yochanan. Now, it'd be wonderful if we knew what the question was. It'd be wonderful. The Gemara over here gives such terse language to so many of these questions that it really, the struggle of Me'ila, it's really the challenge of Me'ila, is that even deciphering these questions sometimes are have a particular challenge. Rashi over here offers two pshatim of what exactly the question was, mechashvin l'nishpachin l'machar. Right? Chishev l'nishpachin l'machar. Rashi offers two pshatim. Tosfos, after quoting Rashi's two pshatim, Tosfos says, I really don't like either pshat. Tosfos offers the third pshat. I'm going to go with Tosfos' third pshat. Elanira l'rim. Where can we be found in Tosfos? Literally right alongside where we are in the Gemara. So if you have the place in the Gemara, just move right alongside to Tosfos. Elanira l'ri dekabai b'machshava b'shaz rika amenas lizrok hadam shenishpach minakli lamachar. What happens as follows: you are right now at the procedure of zrika. You can only have a machshavas pigol during the dalal avodos. We've said that time and again. So we're at the point of zrika. By the way, on the side he changes it to halacha. It really doesn't matter. In other words, you have to be during one of the dalal avodos. And what happened was is that there was some blood in the bowl, and what happened, and probably that's why halacha is a better scenario over here, while you're walking to the mizbeach, so you trip, the blood was already collected in the clean, and some of the blood falls onto the floor. Now, what's the halacha? We learned this back in Zvachim, a long time ago. Back in Zvachim, we learned that if blood goes directly from the neck of the animal down to the floor, puzzle, no good. If the neck went into a bowl, and then from the bowl down to the floor, that's fine. You can pick it up and you can reuse it again, right? Remember that on Pesach, on Erev Pesach, right? They one of the Tanaim took a bowl of blood that was on the floor and just for insurance policies, sprinkled it onto the Mizbeach. Anyway, and then Some blood went onto the floor. Shenishbach min hakli lamachar. And you think now what you're going to do is that during the zrika or during the halacha, you are going to you're going to sprinkle that blood that fell onto the floor, but you're going to do so tomorrow. Okay, which also is a violation of pigel. We normally think of pigel in terms of consuming like meat on a time that's too late. Also, what would be true is if you had a machshava regarding the mizbeach consumption when the time is too late. So the machshava now is going on blood that's spilt on the floor. Okay, that fell from the kli. That's the Tosus's pshat that he prefers in our Gemara. Anyway, what comes out from all this is follows. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's see the answer. Amar the Rebbe Zera Kvar Shanisa Lanu. So he says, look, I know the answer to this question because of something we learned back in Chulin, which is Alal. What do we say regarding Alal? Amar Hai Alal Kevin Deleis Be Mashasha Lo Kibel Tuma Han Nishbach Nami Kevin Dele Ibud Azle Behu Machshava Lo Mahanya. So in terms of the girsas over here need a little bit of correction, but the point the Gemara is making is as follows. Remember back in Chulin we talked about the Allah, or those very hard sinews in the neck of the animal. They're not really edible. I mean, the Gemara over there says it's not subject to Tumas Nevela. Now, Tumas Nevela is only for the edible portion of the animal, the meat of the animal. So these sinews are really too hard for that. However, they sometimes come along with food, and if cooked well enough and softened enough, so they can be rendered edible. It can be. So the Gemara over there says that it's not metame tumas nevela, but under certain circumstances it could be metame tumas ochlin. Anyway, the point is as follows: the aloe is already so far out of our minds that it can't be rendered a basar in order for it to become tumas nevela. Here as well, if blood fell onto the floor, if it spilled onto the floor, at this point in our minds, it's totally been removed from our minds. And therefore, a machshava regarding this particular blood is going to be inconsequential. So now, ela diktani ala avra v'ala sarav kasha. So the Gemara says, so now, what becomes the problem? Ala avra v'ala sarav. So remember how we started off our whole discussion and the whole question that was predicated against Rav Yochanan? Rav Yochanan said that having a zrika be effective is only going to be an effective zrika if some of the meat's inside, some of the meat's outside. But if all of it's outside, it doesn't work. And then the Gemara challenged based on this idea that you can have a machshavas pigel on something which is destroyed or something which is burnt. And now what the Gemara is doing is it's backtracking on that whole position. If it's destroyed and if it's burnt, there's not going to be any kind of machshavas pigel. Machshavas pigel is only on part of the carbon that's here and not something that's already been destroyed. So Kashi, the Gemara says, you know what, you're right. You're right. Our entire case that we built against Rav Yochanan is not really a case.
I'm going to say something different, very simple. When pigel is like a negative, right? While meila is a positive because it allows you to do it. So that's the difference between the two cases.
I do hear that, and right, and the but Rabbi Kiva says it in both directions. Keep in mind in our Mishnah, not only does he talk about zrika siotze, removing meila from kachet kadoshim, but he also talks about the zrika siotze introducing Me'ila into the Imurim. So according to Rabbi Kiva, it works in both ways. Okay. So, Amar Rava Ema Ala Omeid Le'ibud Va'ala Omeid Lisarif. So, in terms of our halacha that we stand on the top of the Amud, that you can have a machshavas pigel on Ha'avud Va'ala Sarif, so Rava says, it needs modification. It just does. Meaning, it can't be that a machshava on something that's already lost is going to be an effective machshava. It's not true. What it means is that at the time when you did the Zrika, it was there, and then subsequently it was lost. But since at the time it was Zrika, it was there, so therefore that's going to be an effective machshava. Okay. Amar Rav Papa. Lo Amar Rabbi Kiva Zrika Ma'alas Liyotze Elish Yatza Basar Avaldam Ein Zrika Ma'alas Liyotze. Another modification of Rabbi Kiva. Again, what do we know regarding Rabbi Kiva? That he said in the Mishnah that if the basar was taken out and disqualified through the psul of Yotze, so we know that according to Rabbi Akiva, the zrika is still going to be an effective zrika. So far we had our first limitation of the morning that given to us by Rabbi Yochanan, which is that's only if some of the meat was taken out, but not all of the meat's taken out. We have our second modification coming up right now, and that's Rav Papa. That's only true if the meat was taken out, but not the blood. And why? It's very simple. Because if the blood was taken out, now the blood is going to be disqualified through the psul of Yotze. And now you want to tell me that the sprinkling of that blood is going to be effective? No, that's not a zrika. Zrika means that you're sprinkling blood, but not just blood, but valid blood. Legally valid blood. This is not valid. If it's taken out of the azara before zrika is done, so the blood now is disqualified with the psul of yotzei, and so therefore that's not going to work. And even Rabbi Kiva will admit to that. So elish yotzei basa aval dam in zrika ma'olas liyotzei tanya na mehachi. The Gemara quotes the Braisa supporting this as well. Shacha b'shtika. Let's say you did the shechita and you were quiet. What does that mean? You were quiet. Rashi over here explains that you didn't have a machshavas pigel, the yatsa dam, and then the blood was taken out. Afa pisha chazav zarko lo asav lo klum. So you come back in now with the blood that was taken out and has undergone the disqualification of yotzei, and you come back in and you sprinkle it again. That's totally ineffective. Bekashim kadashim moal and bo. By kashim kadashim, the isra of meila remains. Bekashim kadashim ain moal and bo. By kashim kalim, the isra of meila is not introduced into it. So basically what we have over here is a very clear sense that if the blood was taken out, Rabbi Kiva would not quibble about that. He would clearly side with Rabbi Eliezer. The Zrika is simply an invalid Zrika. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Adkan. So far, what do we have this morning? So modifications on the position of Rabbi Kiva, which speaks to the idea, like I said at the beginning of Shir, Rabbi Kiva's position is really it's a chiddush. It's a novel idea. It's hard to understand. It's hard to absorb. And when you see the Amoraim putting in modifications within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, it's basically what they're trying to do is trying to process this position of Rabbi Akiva. If the meat was taken out and somehow you did Zrika, not somehow, and you did Zrika after the meat's been taken out, that Zrika is going to be effective for that meat that's taken out. Hard to understand. So again, just to summarize, according to Rav Yochanan, the limitation of Rabbi Kiva is only when some of the meat is taken out, but not all the meat is taken out. If all the meat has been taken out, the Zrika is not going to be effective. And the second modification of Rav Papa is that this is only a discussion within the meat being taken out. But if the blood was taken out, the blood that's disqualified with the psil of Yotzei, you bring it back in, you sprinkle it, it's going to be totally ineffective. Okay. That's step one of today's daf, step two. Step two of today's daf now is that we're going to go to Rabbi Kiva's comparison. He says, how do I know that I'm right? So he compares it to a scenario of a carbon chatas. What happened? A person set aside a carbon chatas, lost the original, found the original, and now the two chatas are there. Now, how many of them does he need to bring? Of course, the answer is one. He only needs to bring one carbon chatas. What happens to the second carbon chatas? So it is a residual. It's mosar. So mosar chatas on a carbon where the other one was already brought. So in the very least, what Rabbi Kiva is going to argue is, well, you know, when I do the Zrika of carbon number one, it's going to remove Me'ila off of carbon number two. And the Rabbi Akiva's argument now in the Mishnah, so what do you see? You see that Zrika for one helps and another, and even if it's not the same goof, certainly in our scenario, where I'm doing Zrika on this carbon, it should be effective for this carbon, even the parts of it that went outside, because it's all part of the same carbon. That was the argument that Rabbi Akiva provided in the Mishnah, and now what the Gemara is going to be doing really is challenging that whole argument and that whole premise. Amar Rabbi Akiva halama zedoma, Amar Rabbi Lazar ki Amar Rabbi Akiva bebasachas. So, again, the Amoraim, what they're trying to do now is just wrap their head around this idea of Rabbi Akiva. I have two carbon chatases. I set aside one, lost it, replaced it with a second, found the original, and now I have two carbon chatases in the Azara. And I need to shech one of the two. And we're saying that a zrika of one is going to be effective to the other. So on this, now the Amoraim are trying to figure out, is that right? So Rav Elazar, huh?
But you can't bring two
carbonos. Okay, so right. So the Amoraim are trying to figure out, is that right? So I'm a Rabbi Lazar. So on this, Rabbi Lazar says, Ki I'm a Rabbi Akiva b'bas achas. Even this idea of Rabbi Akiva is on a very limited scale. Notably, when I shechted both carbon chatzes at the same time. Now, in of itself, by the way, that's just difficult to imagine. Meaning, right, simultaneous shechita of the two carbonos. We have a general question throughout Shas, Efshel et Samtzim, Efshel et Samtzim. Can we be this kind of precise? Okay, it's unusual, but again, what you're seeing over here, what we're all seeing, is the struggle the Amoraim are having with just trying to absorb this idea. If it's two carbon chatzes, how can the sprinkling in one help the other? So the first suggestion is that they were shechted at the same time. But now they were shechted one after the other. Lo Amar Rabbi Kiva. Tanya. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Now, in this Tosefta, it's going to be basically our Mishnah, with just a little more dialogue and a little more narration. I'm Rabbi Shimon Keshalachli Likfar Pani. Matani Zakin Echad. Va'amr li Omer Ayer Rabbi Kiva Zrika Malos Liyotze. So Rabbi Shimon says, look at my travels. So I went to this town of Kfar Pani. Okay, place is unknown, for at least to me. And Rabbi Shimon, by the way, this is Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He was a student of Rabbi Akiva. So anyway, so he's traveling, and he finds an elder, and he says, and the elder says to Rabbi Shimon, I heard the following about Rabbi Akiva and his opinion. Tell me it's not so. Right? And like I said earlier this morning, you see this position, Rabbi Akiva, it's such a chiddush. It's really hard to digest. He says, tell me it's not so. So Omer Haya Rabbi Akiva Zrika Ma'alos Yotze. Right? Rabbi Akiva says that if you do a Zrika on a carbon where the meat's been taken out already, somehow that Zrika is going to be effective for the meat that's taken out? Like it can't be. Amarti Lohain. And I went back to Rabbi, and I told, no, I'm sorry. I told him, yeah, no, that is Rabbi Akiva Shita. No, you got it right. So Amr Li Alo Pasol Hu Heich Meratz Alo Pasol. And the question that basically any one of us could have asked, I don't understand. That meat that's been taken out now is underwent the psul of Yotzei, and somehow a zrika is going to be effective for something that underwent a disqualification. Like, how does that work? And so Rabbi Shimon now continues with the narration. I went back to Rabbi Akiva and I presented all this to him. How does this work? And Amar Li Bani, and Rabbi Akiva says to me, my son, Iyata Omer Kain, you don't agree? The Harei Hamafish Chatas of Avda V'Hifrish Acheres Tachteha. So now Rabbi Akiva launches into his comparison. So we're going to get the comparison over here, but in an exchange, a first-hand exchange between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. So he says, look, you set aside a carbon chatzis, I lost it. I set aside another one. I found the original. And the two of them now are standing right there in the Azara. Mo'alin b'shtehem. So now there's going to be a din of a meal on both of them. Because, of course, in other words, right now, in the pre-shechted stage, we're talking about kachay kadashim. Kachay kadashim are subject to me'ila. That part's good. Shechtan v'harei dama munach b'kosos. Now I shechted them, and the blood's now in a kos. By the way, it sounds like what Rav Elazar said. Sounds like I shechted both of them at the same time. Shechtan v'harei dama munach b'kosos mo'alim b'shtehem. I'm going to be subject to me'ila in the two of them. Because right now we only went through the stage of shechita. Nizrak dam shel echad mehem. If I sprinkle the blood of one of them, I atamode. Don't you agree? Shekashem shedama poter as besara mina meila. After yiftor basar chavirta mina meila. And you got to give me this. Now that if I do zrika on one of them, not only is that going to be an exemption of meila from its meat, but it also will be an exemption of meila from its friend's meat as well. Basically, what Rabbi Akiva is trying to argue is that because these animals were basically for one chet, and because they were shechted at the same time, these two animals effectively become guf echad. They become one animal, they become one entity. And even though we all know that you can't use the second animal, and you're not going to be able, the second animal is going to be moser chatas, it'll be a residual, and it will not be used, but at least Rabbi Akiva says, you got to give me this. You got to give me that when I sprinkle the blood of the first one, that zrika is going to be effective for its animal and also for its friend as well. This is the argument of Rabbi Akiva.
So you can do the same thing with Temura.
Well, I'm sorry. Let's keep this all focused around the Isra of Me'ila and the din of Me'ila. Right, right now I'm not prepared. Forgive me. I'm not prepared to go to other areas in halacha. Just let's keep it streamlined over here in Me'ila. So im hitzel baser chaverta min Me'ila afa pishu pasol dinu shitzos besara. So now if the zrika of the first animal can spare the din of Me'ila off the second animal, which we all know is going to be disqualified, so can't you now at least give me this? That if I'm going to be sprinkling the meat over this animal, for sure it's going to be effective for all the meat of this animal, even for the parts that are disqualified, i.e., it was taken out of the Azara. Okay, this is the back and forth that we have now in the Braisa. We're finished with the Tosefta, but what we got in this Tosefta, a little more narration, right? A little more shock value in the Braisa than we got in the Mishnah, right? In the Mishnah, everyone was really calm. In the Braisa, you saw like some heads exploding. Like Rabbi Akiva didn't say that, did he? And Rabbi Shimon's going around, and Rabbi Shimon goes back to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi. Okay, so we get a little more reaction in the Braisa. when all said and done, we're back at the same place. What we learned in the Mishnah, we now saw together in the Braisa, Amrei Shlakish.
Why is it so posh that you accept a meal of the second one? There's two different functions. Each animal has a different function. So
what so in the case of the two chatos?
Right, I understand why
the second the second chatos is coming for that for the same chet.
Same chet for both.
It's coming for the same.
You can only use one.
Because he lost the first one, and then he set aside a second one.
Right.
Fine. That's fair, by the way. It's extraordinarily fair. Not only is it fair, but it's not me saying it because, you know, I don't have a horse in this race. You know, I'm just trying to understand each one's position. But it's fair in that the Gemara is going to basically make your point. Amri Shlakish Mishum Rav Oshia Tshuva Genuva Heishiva Rabbi Akiva La'oso Tamid. So the Tshuva Genuva, a stolen response. Right? It clearly, what exactly the Gemara means when it says a stolen response, it must come along something along the lines of, it's not a totally fluid answer, this answer that's given by Rabbi Akiva. So that he gave to the Oso Tamid Bevasa, Chasim Bezachar Zelo. If it was done at the same time, so then yes, so then one Zrika is going to affect the other, but not sequentially. The Gemara says, the Kevin Depasalhu, look, we're all in agreement. The second animal, the second carbon chatas, is a pasul carbon chatas. It's moser chatas. That's the bottom line. It's a residual chatas. And it's not the primary chatas. It's not what's providing its kapara. The Kohanim are not eating from that second chatas. We all agree. We all agree to that. So since we all agree to that, so mali bebasachas, mali bezeachazah. I don't understand then. Does it really make a difference whether it was shechted at the same time or they were shechted sequentially? It really shouldn't make a difference. And the Gemara is really struggling to understand this argument of Rabbi Akiva. Amalei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Va'ata Ayata Amor Kain. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, look, you're not going to agree to me. Ilu Yifrishte Ashamos Achrayos. Let's go now to a case where we have two carbon ashams. Right? It could have been chatas, but it's easier to work with ashamos. You'll see why. And the person set aside two for one avera. In other words, he did one avera that warranted one carbon asham. But we've talked about this kind of personality many times before. He's a nervous person, and he wants to make sure that the carbon that he's going to bring is going to work for him. So not only is he going to have the original carbon, but he's also going to set up a backup from the point of origination. At the point when he sets up the carbonus, he sets up two. The second one is his built-in insurance policy. And v'shachar shneim, and he shechted both of them. Now, quite frankly, by the way, I don't understand why they shechted both of them. Meaning, what you should have done is you should have shechted one, see if it works, and if it doesn't work, then shechted the second. But again, Rav Yochanan is just trying to illustrate a point. And you shechted both of them, v'kidim v'hala imurim shalachar mehem, and what you did is you offered the imurim of one of them, kodim zrika. Now, what you did is the following. Now, we know that the Asham is going to be eaten by the Kohen, and we also know that the Imurim of the Asham is going to be going up onto the Mizbech. But here's what we also know. We also know that none of that can happen until Zrikas Adam. None of that can happen until Zrikas Adam. So that means that when the Kohanim now are, after shechting the animal, remove the Imurim, they of course have to wait. Now, generally speaking, that's not a long waiting period because you collect the blood in the bowl and you walk it over to the Mizbech and you do Zrika, and we're not talking about a lot of time. But still, if you, let's say, take the Imurim out of the animal and you put it up onto the Mizbech before the Zrika is done, so you've obviously went out of order. That's premature. So, Iyatamodashim Alu Yardu. So now, let's say in my case of two Ashamos, where not only did I not wait, but I took the Imurim of the other animal and I put it up onto the Mizbech. So don't you agree with Mishim Alu Yardu that if it goes up, then it should be taken down? Meaning the second animal's Imurim have no business being on top of the Mizbeach. Im Alu Yardu. Isa Kedach Achad Gufahu. Now you are trying to explain within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva that all this is really one entity. Right? These two animals are basically one animal. So what is the halacha regarding one animal? And the placement of the Imurim onto the Mizbeach premature. What is the halacha? We actually know. We know the halacha. The halacha is that if Imurim go up onto the Mizbeach prior to the Zrikas Adam, so what you did is wrong, and it was premature, but it's going to stay up there. And why is it going to stay up there? Because eventually the Zrika will be done. And when the Zrika is done, so even though it was out of order, but it went up onto the Mizbeach, Im Alu, Lo Yardu. It doesn't come back down again. The Mizbeach is able to be kolei, it's able to hold it. So what I've just demonstrated is this idea that you really can't compare a single animal versus two animals. Even if you want to try to make the argument that two animals are considered like one animal, so I've just demonstrated to you that that's not true. There are clear distinctions to be made between a single animal versus two animals. And when Rav Yochanan presses on this to Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish didn't have a response. So Reish Lakish was quiet. He didn't have a way to respond to him. I'm Rav Yochanan, Kitsitsa Sinan, Leraglaihu, Dianuka. And Rav Yochanan says, I cut the legs of the young one. Meaning he's referencing, this is a reference obviously to Reish Lakish, and Rav Yochanan seemingly is older than Reish Lakish, right? They were brother-in-laws. We all know the origin stories of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, but the point is that Rav Yochanan over here was able to best Reish Lakish. Remember when Reish Lakish died, Rav Yochanan said, you know, no one challenged me like Reish Lakish. And when Reish Lakish challenged Rav Yochanan, usually, right, Rav Yochanan was put into a bind. Right, they were really on par with one another regarding their acumen and their ability to debate one another. So over here, Rav Yochanan had seemingly a rare victory over Reish Lakish in terms of debate. So it comes out now. The Gemara really struggles. I mean, really, at the end of the day, really struggles to understand Rabbi Akiva, the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, the Svara behind Rabbi Akiva. So it became a real challenge.
Zaken Echa did appear to Rishon. Is that the Yahan Hanavi? When is he Zaken Echa in Gemara?
Yeah, the Gemara does say that we have genetic rules in terms of who Zaken Echa is. I'm not sure if that works in this Brisa. I don't know.
It would make a difference with that two Ashkumas if you just buy two because. You think I'll do one of them because I buy two.
Right. The cases are slightly different. Okay, but Reish Lakish didn't feel that would be a successful answer. Okay, we're going to start the next Mishnah. We're going to finish the Perek. Let's begin. The Mishnah is going to just basically treat us to now, at this point in the Masechta, we're a week into it, and this is really going to be now for us pretty basic information. And day one, it would not have been basic information. Day one, all this would have been chedushim. But you know how the Mishnah started off with a very specific scenario where it was kachim. It was shecht in the south as opposed to the north. The Mishnayos originally assumed that we knew the following information. But now we know it, and now we get to review it. So yesh ma'isa damim bekachik kadashim lahakal lahachmir. When you are going to the ma'isa damim, right, the avoda with the blood, otherwise known as Shechita and Kabbalah's Dam and Halach and Zrika. So when it comes to Kachi Kedashim, so two effects are going to result. A Kula and a Chumra. Uve Kachim Kalim, Kula Lahachmir. But when it comes to Kachim Kalim, the effects of Zrika's Dam is going to be all Chumra. Let's articulate these points. Gateside. Kachi Kedashim Livnei Zrika's Damim. So when it comes to Kachi Kedashim, so before Zrika's Dam, so there's a din of Mi'ila on everything. Mi'im Mo'alim Bi'imu Rehem Uve Basar. So there's going to be a din of me'ila on the imurim of the carbon and on the basar of the carbon. Because again, at the point of being makdash kachi kedashim, it's considered all kachi Hashem. Now you do zrikas adam. What happens after zrikas adam? So what happens is, la'achar zrikas adam in mo'alim bi'imurim, ve'in mo'alim bi'basar. So there's going to be a din of me'ila by the imurim because they're going to go up onto the mizbeach. But there's not going to be a din of me'ila on the meat because now, of course, the meat is going to be enjoyed by the kohanim. And on both the Imurim and the Basar, there is going to be susceptibility, eligibility for the disqualifications of Pigel, Noser, and Tameh. So in other words, all that occurs with Zrika Sadam. Nimsa Maisa Damim B'Kashya Kedashim L'Hakal L'Hachmir. So when you do Zrika Sadam B'Kashya Kedashim, so it's going to affect in both directions. Kulas and Chumras. Kulas, the meat is no longer going to have a din of Me'ila. Chumras, the eligibility of Pigel, Noser, and Tameh are going to now take place because now the Zrika was done properly. That's by Kachay Kadashim. What about Kachim Kalim? Well, the Kachim Kalim, Kulun Lahachmir, everything comes out to be a Chomra, Ketzad. Kachim Kalim, Lifnei Zrika's Damin, Ein Mo'anlim, Lo, Bi Imurim, Velo, Bi Basar. By Kachim Kalim, there is no din of Me'ila, not on the Imurim, not on the Basar. And the reason why is because, again, the idea is that by a carbon, the only thing subject to Me'ila is only Kachay Hashem. By Shlamim, most of it's not going up onto the Mizbeach, and even the Imurim that are going to go up onto the Mizbeach can only go onto the Mizbeach after Zrikas Adam. So prior to Zrikas Adam, nothing falls under the category of Kachi Hashem, and therefore nothing is subject to Mi'ila. La'achar Zrikas Adam, but after Zrikas Adam, O'alim bi'imurim, ve'in mo'alim be'basar. So now what happens with Zrikas Adam by Kachim Kalim? So first of all, the din of Mi'ila by the Imurim. That's a Chumra. Alzeh ve'alzeh chayav melam mishum pigel noser v'tameh. And because now the Zrika was done properly, so now you have the eligibility of all these disqualifications to occur to the Basar and the Imurim. Pigel, noser, and tameh. All disqualifications that could now occur, which could not have occurred before Zrika, because before Zrika, it just simply wasn't carbon worthy. It wasn't edible worthy. After Zrika, now that it's carbon worthy and edible worthy, now that it's mizbeach worthy and consumable worthy, so now it's eligible for these disqualifications of pigel noser v'tameh. Nimsa ma'isa damim b'kashim kalim kulan la'achmir. So it's a little bit ironic, but it's just simply the conclusion that by kashim kalim, when you do zrika, it's going to result in all chumras. The status of Mi'ila now that's going to take effect on the Imurim, the now eligibility of pigel noser v'tameh on both the Imurim and on the Basar, it's all a chumra. Good, that is the last Mishnah here in the first perek. It's a wonderful summary of many of the halachas that we learned over the course of this perek. The Gemara is really just going to focus on one point, and with this we finish the perek. When the Mishnah says, Ein mo'alim b'basar, it's a sensitivity which, quite frankly, we should get used to here in this Masechta. The Mishnah says that there's no din of mi'ila by the basar. That's really two points stacked one on top of another. When we say that there's no mi'ila, so what we're really saying is one of two things. Meaning, either the meat is totally permissible to eat, right? It's hetergamor. Meaning, let's say the meat of a shlamim, or the meat of an asham, or the meat of a chatas. After you do zrikas adam, so what happens to that meat? Perfectly mutter for kohanim in the azara, but perfectly mutter. When you say that there's no status of mi'ila, or when you say there is a status of mi'ila, you're saying not only is that meat usser, on top of that, benefiting from that meat is going to result in all the ramifications of mi'ila. You got to pay back principal, you have to pay back chomish, you have to add a carbon usher on top of that. So if we're just simply saying in a Mishnah, in any Mishnah here in this Masechta, that there's no din of mi'ila, all we're doing is we're just peeling back the top layer. That there's no chomish and there's no carbon asham. But below that, what we have is still, hey, but it's still asr. If the Mishnah wanted to tell us that something was heter gamor, the Mishnah would say, it's mutter. By just simply saying that there's no din of mi'ila, we just peeled back the top layer of isr. But below that is still just a generic isr of, you're not allowed to benefit from it. Oh. And that obviously becomes problematic when you read our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah is talking about what happens when you sprinkle the blood of a chatas and asham, you know there's no din mi'ila by the basar. No din mi'ila by the basar. There's no iser by the basar. And that's what's going to bother the Gemara. Ketani in ma'alim b'basar, mi'ila hu deleka, ha isura ika. That's the simple reading of the Mishnah, that there's an iser. But the Gemara says, but I don't appreciate that reading of the Mishnah. Ve'amaya mamona dekawinu. Chatas and asham, after the blood's been sprinkled, the meat now is mamon kohen. It's totally property of the kohen. Kohen can do whatever he wants with it. How can you tell me that there's no mi'ila implying that there's still an iser? There is no iser. So lo kasha, the Gemara's response is, no, that's not difficult. Mishum denasiv reisha, mo'alin nasiv seifa ein mo'alin. So the Gemara says, okay, yeah, you know what? Generally, that is a fair reading of the words ein mo'alin, but not in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is just simply contrasting when there is mi'ila, when there isn't mi'ila. So our Mishnah's usage of the language of ein mo'alin is just there to contrast when the Mishnah says there is Me'ila. Okay, Ema Seifa. The Gemara says, go to the next part of the Mishnah. Bekashim kalim kulu la'achmer keitzah basar kashim kalim ufnei zrikas damim ein mo'alim behem uvi'imurim ve'ein chayavim le'mishim pikol nosu v'tamei la'achmer zrikas damim mo'alim bi'imurein ve'ein mo'alim bebasar. So just a review of the second half of the Mishnah, and at the tail end of that Mishnah, what happens when you sprinkle the blood of shlamim, of kachay kalim? So what happens is that there's no mi'ila on the basar. No mi'ila on the basar. Again, think of the implication. What does it mean there's no mi'ila? Say it better. There's no iser, period. So, and again, the Gemara makes exactly the same point. Mi'ila hu deleka ha'isuri ika ve'amai ha'mamona debalim hu. Again, we're talking about the meat of a karmi shlamim after Zrika's dam. The owners now, it's theirs. They can eat it. They can eat it wherever they want as long as they're within the walls of Yerushalayim.
There's no malin there, but there's malin by the Imurim.
Yeah, but the Mishnah said that. Right, mo'alim bi'imoreim ve'ein mo'alim be'basar. And again, the implication is that there's no me'ila, but there's still an iser. And again, that's simply not true. So, what are you going to say? It's interesting over here, the Gemara didn't deflect in the same manner. Well, it's just a contrasting term. Since we use where there is Me'ilah, we're using the words where there isn't Me'ilah. The Gemara doesn't respond that way over here. The Gemara gives a somewhat more complicated answer. Right? The Gemara says, V'amai ha'mamon ha'balamu, am Rabbi Chanina li'yotzin. Oh, you know what the Mishnah is describing? The Mishnah is describing a really specific case. You know what happened? It was Kashim Kalim. And what happened was is that the meat was removed from the Azara prior to Zrika, otherwise known as Yotze. Oh, and you did Zrika over Yotze. Now, is that Zrika going to remove the status of Me'ilah from Yotze? Funny you should ask. That's the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Right? And Rabbi Akiva says it does remove Me'ilah, and Rabbi Eliezer says it does not. And that was most of today's daf. What the Gemara is suggesting is that this Mishnah over here is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva, that what it does is it removes the Isser of Me'ilah. Now removes the din of Me'ilah. Now, although it removes the din of Me'ilah, you know what it still is at the end of the day? It's still Yotze. And so therefore you're not allowed to eat it. Ah. So that's the Pshat in our Mishnah. So I'm Rabbi Chanina Liyotzim Rabbi Akiva. He came Rabbi Akiva Zrika Mahalas Liyotze Lisrefa. Avalachila Hudalomeratza. But in other words, you're not gonna be able to eat it. It just simply means that it's no longer gonna have the din of Me'ilah. That's the possible way to read our Mishnah. Admittedly, it's creative and it's a little bit complicated, but it is a possibility, and that's what the Mishnah could mean when it says that there's no din of Me'ilah. Hadralach Kashe Kadashim, and that is the end of the first parak of our Masechta.